Hearing is the remote. Here are some of the latest developments in the coronavirus crisis globally. Australia's Victoria state imposes new and sweeping restrictions, including a curfew in Melbourne, the country's second largest city. The plan includes a ban on weddings and has schools and universities going back online. South Africa has now registered more than 500,000 cases, the health ministry announced, making it by far the hardest hit country on the continent. More than a third of positive cases are in Gauteng province, South Africa's financial hub and the epicenter of the outbreak in the country. The pandemic has killed more than 685,000 people worldwide since it surfaced in China late last year, with over 17.8 million people infected. The United States has the most deaths with over 154,000, followed by Brazil with 93,000, Mexico with 47,000, Britain with 46,000, and India with 37,000 fatalities. The United States continues to lead the world not only in deaths, but also in confirmed cases with 4.6 million. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers participating in rare weekend talks on a huge coronavirus relief measure are reporting progress as political pressure mounts to restore a newly expired $600 per week supplementary unemployment benefit and send funding to help schools reopen. The COVID-19 package will be the fifth legislative response to the pandemic and could be the last one before the November election. And the vote to renominate President Trump is set to be conducted in private later this month without members of the news media present. Spokeswoman for the Republican National Convention cites the coronavirus for restricting press coverage. This event will take place on August 24th. That's the date of the vote. This is VOA News. Activist Samuel Chu has told VOA he will not stop fighting for democracy in Hong Kong. Chu is one of six activists now living overseas whom Hong Kong has reportedly issued arrest warrants for under its new national security law. According to China's state television, Chu, an American citizen originally from Hong Kong who has lived in the U.S. for 30 years, as well as five other Hong Kongers who have fled the city for political reasons, are wanted by Hong Kong police for allegedly inciting secession and collusion with foreign forces to endanger national security. Chu is a founder and managing director of Washington-based Hong Kong Democracy Council, which has lobbied the U.S. government to take action on China for the erosion of Hong Kong's democracy. The Hong Kong police and government have not officially confirmed the news. Hong Kong's top leader, Carrie Lam, said Saturday it was inconvenient to comment on the enforcement of the national security law, but said opposition to the Hong Kong or Chinese governments is not a way out. The five others include Nathan Law, a pro-democracy campaigner and ousted lawmaker who recently fled to Britain, Simon Cheng, a former British consular staffer who was granted asylum in Britain after alleging he was tortured in China, and activist Ray Wong. If confirmed, this would be the first time Hong Kong authorities have used the sweeping national security law enacted a month ago to target campaigners living outside of Hong Kong. Chu told VOA the authorities are trying to use the new law to intimidate and create fear, and that he had no plans of stopping to speak out. A rare ceasefire between the Taliban and Afghan government appeared to hold for the third and final day on Sunday, with hundreds of militant prisoners released in a bid to bring peace talks closer. Calm prevailed across much of Afghanistan, with officials not reporting any major clashes between the two foes since the truce began on Friday to mark the Muslim festival of Eid al-Adha. President Ashraf Ghani and the Taliban have both indicated that long-delayed negotiations could begin straight after the holiday. Under a deal signed by the Taliban and the U.S. in February, the intra-Afghan talks were slated to start in March, but were delayed amid political infighting in Kabul and as a contentious prisoner swap dragged on. The deal stipulated that Kabul would free around 5,000 Taliban prisoners in return for 1,000 Afghan security personnel held captive by the Taliban. The National Security Council said Sunday that a further 300 Taliban prisoners had been released since Friday, taking the total number of insurgents freed so far to just over 4,900. And the Taliban said they've already fulfilled their side of the exchange. This is VOA News via remote. I'm Laurel Bowman in Washington.